Welcome back. 517, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined now by Chris Versace, who writes a column called Corner of Wall in Maine. And today's column is entitled, Can the Second Quarter Keep Up the Pace? Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. First quarter over, pretty good market results. How did that happen?
Well, you know, usually the first quarter of the year is pretty good. We had a number of companies that back in January issued some upbeat forecasts. The economic data was looking good. You know, just like last year, 2011, same thing. And guess what? Just like 2010, exact same thing. And unfortunately, it looks like, much like we've seen over the last 2 years, there's a number of things that kind of tend to happen as we exit the first quarter that, you know, are likely to pressure the stock market and likely to make people scratch their heads and go, maybe what I thought was such a solid recovery year to date wasn't so strong.
Is that why in the past week or so we've seen the Dow a little stagnant and perhaps even down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the Dow was, down marginally, less than, 0.2%. And
right.
The S&P was flat. But what we're seeing, around the globe, there's renewed concern about a global slowdown. We've had some data coming out of Europe that pointed to, a continued slowdown there. Most likely Europe's in a recession for the first quarter. Data that things are slowing in China, as well as even in India. Not only is the growth slowing, but inflation is picking up. So there's a lot of concern there. And then, we had some economic data domestically this week that showed, guess what, manufacturing not as robust as people were looking for. And we've had a couple companies give us some news that was not what we were looking for. ConAgra and General Mills, for example, said, hey, margins are going to be under pressure, and it's due to rising input costs.
All right, so what happens over the next week? Are you are the results that we got this week from some of these companies, will we see it come Monday?
Well, it's really going to start to happen on Tuesday. That's when the first quarter earnings results start to come in. And,
okay.
Like clockwork, Alcoa will kick us off on Tuesday morning. So everybody's going to be there waiting to see what Alcoa has to say. And then we'll get Google, J.P. Morgan, and then over the next 2-3 weeks, a onslaught of companies. But having said that, my concern is, very simple. If we go back to January, I don't think a lot of companies saw or expected the increase that we've seen in not only gas prices, but overall fuel prices, in the rebound we've seen in food prices after falling in the second half of last year, and other inputs. So I'm really concerned about top-line growth expectations as well as the margin line. And that's really what's I think going to hit a lot of people between the eyes next week and the week after and the week after.
Yeah, something that rattles everyone's pocketbook is high gasoline prices. But it's more than just the spending at the pump. It trickles down, right?
Absolutely it does. And it's it trickles down to the amount people have to spend. In other words, I think disposable income is once again going to be under pressure. But, at the same time, it also hits companies because their cost structure is rising. It limits their ability to invest or hire. So I do think there's going to be a number of effects that this year-to-date 20% increase in gas prices is ultimately going to have.
You mentioned some conflicting information coming from China. Explain that.
Well, there's always some question about the data that comes out of China. And
it might be a little funny?
Yeah.
Might be a little funny coming out?
Well, it's, there's always the old joke, some companies in China, they have several sets of books, one for the government, one for their partners, one for their wives, and then one that, this is really what I made. But what happens is, any time you look at data, you always want to have multiple sources, and you try and triangulate on that data. So the official government statistics in China said that, in March, things weren't so bad. We actually grew. But if we look at a number of the bulge bracket investment banks and commercial banks, their data actually showed that China actually slowed. And the reality is, come early next week, we're going to get, China GDP for the first quarter, their inflation in March, and some other economic data that I think should help, help us see the tea leaves a little better as to what's going on over there.
Got some new numbers, 8.2% unemployment, but only 120,000 new jobs added. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that job growth year to date has slowed. We did 275,000 in the month of January. That's net new jobs. February was 240, and now we slowed into March to 120. And everybody's jumping up and down, though. Oh, that unemployment rate is going down. And, you know, as I think we talked a couple weeks ago, Andy, it continues to fall for the exact wrong reason, which is more people falling out of the workforce. And let me share two numbers with you, which is, and this is right off the Bureau of Labor Statistics report from today. You go to Table A, you'll see that the change from February to March for people not in the workforce, 330,000 people. That's far greater than the number of jobs were added, which is horrific in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But what's more revealing in my, as I see it, is if we go and look at March 2012 compared to March 2011, that number was up by 2.3 million people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's horrific. And you look at all the efforts, you know, the various forms of stimulus that have been gone on, that have been attempted over the last couple of years. And the reality is not only is the employment rate higher, but you have more people out of work than have actually gotten into the workforce.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Huh. Before I let you run here today, you write a couple of newsletters, don't you?
I do, actually. I write one free e-letter that anybody can sign up for, which is called Power Trend Brief. And then the other newsletter is Power Trend Profits.
Okay, and people can access that through your website?
Yeah, it's real simple. You go to chrisversace.com. That's, you know, C-H-R-I-S, V as in Victor, E-R, S as in Sam, A-C-E.com.
All right, very good. Pleasure to have you on the show. We'll do it again. Thanks, Chris. Have a good weekend.
Have a good holiday weekend, Andy.
You too. Bye-bye. Chris Versace, he writes a column here in the Washington Times called The Corner of Wall in Maine. Check it out.